I think today, to just jump right into like things that have happened, maybe things that we even need to catch up on, instead of focusing on like one story or anecdote for the cold open, I kind of just wanted to go through and read you some headlines that I found when I was researching for the show this week.
Look, we're usually a decisive pair, right? We're usually making decisions of what we want to include in the show. We're usually getting to the heart of the issue as fast as we can. But sometimes we just got to include more than we can muster. And we got some crazy headlines to share with you all.
It's almost like I couldn't pick just one to talk about. And we already have a packed show on in the regular half. So I'm just going to read through the first headline here we have from Vice. Republicans think drag queen story hours are a top threat to U.S. military. So that's already just like gas, right? Because what the fuck?
So good.
And basically the article itself just goes through a bunch of like Republicans that have complained that gay events have happened on U.S. military bases. And like, why are my tax dollars going to gay events on the military?
Yeah. It's the same argument when, I can't remember his name. Some general came in to testify and Matt Gaetz was like, why are you reading books about gender? And he was like, I like to read books. Yeah.
Exactly. No, that's precisely
was it Mark
it.
Milley? And then they were like, Mark Milley's gone woke. The Mark military's Milley, gone woke.
Exactly. Mark Milley's gay. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's the same arguments that they had back when Harry Truman desegregated the military.
True.
They gone woke. Why do we need black people in the military?
Crazy. They were saying that back then. Again, next headline. Missouri Republicans just voted to completely defund the state's public libraries. And then this is like the subheading. The new budget sets funds for libraries to $0.
You know, when I think of pressing social matters, pressing political matters, it's the libraries. Get rid of them.
It's the libraries that everybody goes to all the time. And it's also like defunding libraries like that is already fucked because you're going way beyond whatever culture war it is you have about like the book genderqueer or just gay books being around. You are going and you're removing some people's internet access.
Yeah.
You're removing some people's access to just be able to engage with the world and how internet centric it is now.
You're taking people's jobs away.
So that's look who's taking the jobs away now. Cancel culture strikes again.
Well, it's like when I think of a government program that soaks up too much money in the budget, it's not libraries, right? Like
it is actually.
What's the common mantra that like libraries are the frontline defense for democracy or something like that? It's like I gotta believe there's a little bit more of a sinister intent with that kind of legislation.
Yeah,
they're just trying to take away people's access to internet, but also take away people's access to knowledge in general.
And it's also just retaliation because I think the state library board is trying to sue Wisconsin over its book ban.
Ah, okay.
Or not Wisconsin, Missouri. Let me go back to the headline. Let me go back to headline roulette.
That's right.
Missouri.
Yeah, okay.
The state library board is trying to sue Missouri over it. All right, next headline. This one, the only reason I found these next two is because I spent like probably about an hour last night just on the conservative Reddit trolling for fucking stories, right?
I can't imagine the state of your mind right
now. Yeah, I felt awful afterwards. This is from thecollegefix.com.
Okay.
Breaking campus news, launching media careers. Conservative students unlikely to voice opinions at University of Wisconsin system schools survey.
Good.
It's crazy. And the funniest part about this right here is that I'm going to read you a paragraph. This is a quote from the article. When asked if campus administrators should ban the expression of views they deem as harmful, 71.5% of Republican identifying respondents said not at all, compared to 33% of very liberal Democrat identifying respondents who said a great deal. That's the same ratio of both answers in both groups.
Okay.
Like, they're trying to tout this as 71% of conservatives said we shouldn't ban views that we deem as inappropriate, and 30% of liberals said we should. Assuming there's only two answers, because those are the only two answers this article presents, that's the same fucking ratio for both groups.
It's the same proportion. Oh my God.
Do you think I'm this fucking stupid? Because I imagine the people reading this have got to be this fucking stupid.
That's like textbook twisting data to fit a narrative.
No, literally.
It's just phrasing it slightly differently.
Figures lie, liars figure. Uh-huh. Some shit like that. The next paragraph says, reversing the question to ask whether administrators should allow the expression of views deemed as harmful, 60.8% of Democrats said not at all, while 42% of Republicans said a great deal. Again, the same ratio.
Mm-hmm.
The same fucking ratio of students. This isn't news.
I wonder if the raw data is available anywhere. You know what I mean?
It probably is if thecollegefix.com had access to it. That'd be good, because I'd like to see what the other, like, responses to the surveys were. Because it's not just a great deal and not at all. Like, those are the two extreme ends of the spectrum.
I gotta assume it's, like, multiple options.
But also, like, you'd think if it wasn't the same proportion, they wouldn't need to frame things this way. Mm-hmm. And they could just say, this proportion answered this for this, and this proportion answered this for that.
I just love the framing, because this is a common thing, at least since, like, the 20-teens, you know, the dimes.
Yeah,
precisely. Is that conservatives are always framed to be this group that is afraid to share their opinions because they'll get, like, lambasted on campus or whatever it may be. But it's like, you're the ones that are always complaining about safe spaces on campus. Who needs the safe space now?
And
you're so afraid to share your views because people will push back that you just don't do
it. It's also like, all the conservatives I know don't shut the fuck up.
Oh, on God.
All the conservatives on campus I know will not shut the fuck up. They are always loud about their opinions. They are the loudest. I have a podcast.
Yeah.
I get on here every week and wax political for like an hour and a half to thousands of people. And they're still louder than me.
Crazy. If anyone's ever had like a political science class or any class that deals with anything political, you'll know that the conservatives in your class keep talking.
You'll know exactly who they are too, just like instantly. They can't stop themselves from like feeding into their own victim mentality.
And that's not to say that we should like stop their ability to speak, unless they're just being openly hateful, then obviously cut them off.
For sure.
They can speak, but I reject this framing that they're so scared to do so.
Exactly. They have the right to speak. And I have the right to be absolutely fucking annoyed with them because they're annoying.
Yeah.
And speaking of annoying conservatives, oh God, this next headline from the same website. I told my peers men cannot have babies. Oh. They've threatened to kill me because of it.
That cannot.
Now that's crazy, right? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of this girl for receiving like a death threat. Although the death threat is from Yik Yak and it said, quote, this girl makes me want to kill myself and commit mass murder.
Yikes.
Obviously, don't be dropping that. That's not okay.
Especially
to just like random people. Don't do that. But also like she goes on to say like the things she's done on campus, and she did a counter protest when the Dobb v. Jackson position came through, protesting against the people protesting for abortion. And she also said that she was said this is a point of victimization, that she was banned from showing the realities of abortion in public.
Oh, so she's just trying to show,
like... She's just showing pictures of, like, dead fetuses to people, like, walking up and ambushing them about this. And then she talks about being the proudest person on campus to talk about these issues, about pro-life issues. And she says, I was borderline liberal when I came to college. No, you weren't.
No, you weren't.
Nobody who acts like this was ever borderline liberal.
This is what I'm saying. It's just, like, the most annoying people on the planet that don't shut up.
Yeah.
Like, come on now. Like, I don't know. There's not much analysis I can really offer since this is just one person's testimony. You know, like, I don't know exactly what this person has experienced. But generally speaking, if you're organizing counter protests, if you are doing that kind of stuff, I can't imagine you're a very popular person with a student body.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? And then she also took this as an opportunity to turn on the trans community and grifting about the Trans Day of Vengeance thing that we'll get into later when we cover all that whole situation. But yeah, she says, quote, I've been censored from showing pictures of the reality of abortion at on-campus events. Like, yeah, that shit's gross. I don't want to see
I can't show dead fetuses. That's censorship.
Like, it's always so out of pocket when people do that in general. Like, I don't understand who gives pro-lifers the audacity.
Nobody likes it when you do that.
No.
Even, like, regular conservatives probably don't like it. It's like, bro, I'm just trying to go to class. It's 8 a.m.
Yeah,
like, what are you doing?
Literally. It's like, I woke up at 7. I don't want to be here right now. I don't want to look at that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But you need to be confronted with the reality.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Annoying. Anyway, is that our little headline roulette?
That's the four headline roulette we got for this cold open.
I hope you all enjoyed that. Prepare yourself. Buckle up for the rest of the episode. Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody. Top of the episode. We got a banger planned for you all today.
Yes, we do.
Not necessarily in a good way, but we're going to be covering a lot. So I guess, you know, if you consider that a banger of an episode, then that's what it'll be.
You already know we're going to be covering the Nashville shooting.
Yeah, very sad.
Narrative surrounding the Nashville shooting.
Mm, lots of those.
Trump's indictment.
Oh, very excited.
Gas, actually. Mm-hmm. And then the Restrict Act. You know we're talking about text of bills again.
Text of bills, TikTok ban. Very exciting episode we have planned for you all. But before we get into it, I'm going to just remind you all, to go check out the Patreon, become a patron, get us to our goal. We're looking to do another live stream. We just announced that goal last week.
The last live stream was a banger,
get in there.
If I might add. Lots of inside jokes coming from it.
Exactly.
Only about 100 people know about now.
And once we hit that goal, if you're a part of our patron listening base, you'll get some special privileges in that live stream. You'll have a little bit of fun. get to participate in a little bit of a different way. That's all I'm saying. Like, go check out the Patreon. Go become
that's
a
it,
patron.
That's it.
You'll also get access to early episodes, as always, as we always mention. But also go to the YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Discord.
Make sure to.
Check out all of it. Check out all of it. It's all in the description for you. And we'd really appreciate
fun.
The support.
It's all exciting. Different content on everything, actually.
That's right. We're excited to announce that this episode is supported by a paid partnership with USA Facts.
That's right. Today we've teamed up with USAFacts.org to bring you guys some information about student debt. Now, I'm a student.
Mm-hmm. I'm
Jeremy
a student
here's
as well.
A student.
Many listeners are students.
We have debt. I'm sure a lot of you guys have debt.
That's right.
Student debt is something that we talk about every once in a while, but it's been out of the news for a little while because of the holdups with SCOTUS right now. Mm-hmm. And so because it's been out of the news, you may be a bit rusty when it comes to your student debt talking points. And
that's right.
You may not want to go back over 91 episodes to piece together all the cool things we have to say. So our friends over at USA Facts have done it all for you.
That's right.
If you click through the link in our bio, you'll be taken to a page on their site that talks about gender disparities in education, racial disparities in education. It will talk about how debt has increased over the past few years, and it will talk about exactly who is being helped by student debt relief, the plan that Biden said that's being held up in court right now.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And USA Facts is a nonpartisan organization.
Right.
They operate solely off of data provided to them by the government. They just want to make it more easy to access for average listeners and average viewers like you.
At the bottom of the landing page, if you do click through, you'll be able to see all of the sources that they use and everything that they use to come up with this data.
That's right. USA Facts wants you to be well-equipped with the right data next time you get into a friendly debate
and so do
with
we.
Anybody.
And so do we.
So click that link in the description. Again, thank you to USA Facts for this paid partnership, and let's get on to the episode. Another way you can support the show is by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple. And we have a couple of those to read off today. Do we have any Instagram reviews that we need to read?
Don't have any Instagram reviews.
No Instagram
reviews.
But
we do have a follow-up on a review from last week.
No way.
If we want to get into that.
Well, let's do that first.
Yes, we do. Follow-up from Lily, the one who said that she found out about us through like a feminism study in her class.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
She said, hey, I posted a review last week where I said y'all were referenced in a study I used. Sorry for confusing y'all. I wrote the review while high, so my wording was bad. Not gonna lie, but it was another student's research paper from a year ago.
Wait a minute. Keep going.
I saw it last semester and got to it in a seminar, so I don't have access to the paper anymore. But basically, they were looking at the differences in how the generations look at and discuss politics and how it differs between political affiliations. A left-leaning student was quoted as liking your pod, so I decided to check it out. I don't think the study was published because it was another student's research paper, but in an email, I'm going to email my feminism professor to see if she can look it up. So she can hook us up.
Bro,
with it.
No chance.
That's what I was.
That's
from a year
so
ago, it's
cool.
Crazy. That puts us at like, they were a listener like at episode like 35.
Right.
And they
right.
had to have been listening before that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like when we were a lot smaller than we are now.
Back
you got to
like
wonder
200
like,
listeners.
Like, okay, I don't know the methodology of this study, right? But you got to think that other people are mentioning other left wing creators. You know what I mean? The big ones like Hassan Piker, et cetera. You got to think, are we being ranked among them? I don't know.
Oh, what's going on here?
I'm just, that's interesting.
Am
I
quoted in the essay? What's the MLA citation for head in the office?
Yeah, what quote did you pull? Time to get into these 5-star Apple reviews, though. The first one here is from Kayla F30. These boys can keep their microphones.
Let's go.
Kayla says, not going to lie, I was skeptical about another podcast featuring two white boys. I love it. The TikTok algorithm did its job and kept giving me clips, and I had to check them out. It's refreshing to hear a political podcast that doesn't leave you feeling awful and hopeless. Great work. Keep the episodes coming. Well, we will, Kayla. And
we
I appreciate
will.
The review.
We absolutely will.
I appreciate the review, and I appreciate you taking a chance, rolling the dice on men with microphones. I know it's a dangerous
it's
world out
rough
there.
Rough world out there.
And it's a bad stereotype. We're trying to undo that.
There's
stereotype.
Like three of us good ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm one of the good ones.
That's what I'm saying.
Our next review from Julian is Black. Come to the cookout. Just don't bring nothing. Maybe some napkins. Okay. I'm writing this as a newer, only about a week into your content listener. I don't think I'd be inclined to leave a 5-star review so soon, but I am so happy to be incorrect about that.
Let's go.
As a Black mask lesbian growing up in a politically liberal but socially conservative Christian household, that's so rough. Coming across unapologetically inclusive content on the internet was how I was able to survive my teenage years. I'm happy to say that you two are yet another safe haven that I found whilst in my undergrad.
Nice.
I've always been an outspoken person, but have fallen victim to be unable to articulate some of my perspectives in a feasible manner. Hitto has allowed me to soak in a rhetoric that gives me a lot more confidence on that front.
Let's go.
It's been uplifting to see many people my age so educated about this important issues as well. I especially love the manner in which you two tackle gender-affirming care. I say this as a cis woman who seeks to get top surgery one day. Comes in all shapes and sizes. The hosts, Top tier. Currently a Wednesday weenie, but I hope over time I'll be able to subscribe to the Patreon and these deserving folks that extra praise. Jeremy and Gage balance humor and knowledge in a beautifully crafted equilibrium that make each podcast unique and addicting. Always worthy of a re-listen / re-watch.
Oh my God.
Keep up the excellent work, and thank you for making such a safe space for all identities. Julian Sheher.
Oh my God, Julian. Thank you so
excellent
much for that review.
Excellent review.
I love seeing when people comment on our stuff or leave it in reviews, etc., where they say that they've gotten more confident with their talking points. That's literally the goal.
That's the goal.
Is to give you the tools necessary to debunk some of the silly stuff. Exactly. And we're glad to provide. We're always happy to provide.
Exactly.
Next review here is from Puppy Love 1373, A Breath of Fresh Air. They say, I can't hype this pod enough. Found it on my YouTube, and I only had to see one clip to be hooked. The Hitto Boys provide excellent content that's informative, funny, thoughtful, and makes me feel like I can breathe while trudging through the abhorrent swamp that is the political environment of today. As both a queer and non-religious person living in northern Utah, It's hard for me to find open-minded people to have conversations with about important topics. Thankfully, listening to Hitto gives me worthwhile subjects to learn and think about. 10 out of 10, absolutely recommend.
And that's what we're here for.
Northern Utah, Mormons out there. Good luck. Good luck. I'm sure
BYU,
you know, living
up there. Ooh, yeah. That's tough. Yeah. That's tough. Our last 5-star review from Rod Digi. Great work, podcast. Love them gagging both sides of the political spectrum. For straight people, gagging means show. Let's go. Excellent reviews.
Appreciate
everybody.
The clarification.
Excellent reviews.
That sums up our reviews that we have for today. Now I think it's time to get into the news. I'll issue a quick trigger warning at the top of this news cycle, top of our news coverage here, because we're going to start off talking about the Nashville school shooting, which is something I'm sure all of you have heard about already. It reached national headlines pretty quickly for a variety of reasons that we'll get into. But if you are susceptible to this kind of stuff, you can skip ahead if you need to. But we're going to start off just a general outline of what happened, and then we'll get in talking about narratives and the absolute disgusting talking points that a lot of conservatives have brought up.
They've been going nuts with this one.
So again, as a lot of you have heard, there was yet another school shooting in the United States last Monday. It was in Nashville, Tennessee. 3 kids and 3 teachers lost their lives. It was at, I believe, Covenant Elementary School. So these are young kids that we're talking about. Audrey Hale, the shooter, entered Covenant School around 10 a.m. and opened fire, making this one of Tennessee's worst school shootings in state history. There's a ton of contention around this school shooting for a couple of reasons. First, the reporting said at the beginning that it was a female school shooter, which, if you know anything about mass shooters in general, that is an incredibly rare occurrence. Yeah. It's almost always a man doing the shooting. It actually turned out that the shooter was a trans man, not a cis woman, which has been kind of the main talking point of every right-wing conservative podcast commentator, everything throughout the last
week or
so.
Pretty much any narrative that can be spawned about the shooting is relating to that fact.
Yeah. There was a lot of reporting that was saying trans woman at first, and that was actually incorrect. And I think that most media sites were not purposefully doing that. I think they are just dumb and were probably confused about how being trans works.
It was confusing when it happens.
Sure,
and as we know from the MSU shooting, like, the reporting that comes out about this comes out late and it comes out inaccurately. So it's a complex thing to keep up with day of.
Yeah, but now we know it was a trans man doing this shooting. And Covenant School, for those that don't know, is a Christian school, which ignited a lot of anger from conservatives that immediately said this is an anti-Christian attack, which can't really be concluded just yet because we haven't seen a manifesto or anything, so we don't know if it's explicitly anti-Christian, but they have been saying that.
But I could grant that.
Right, even if it is, it might be, and that's a horrible thing, regardless. Following the shooting, a large group of people came to the state capitol in Tennessee and occupied it in protest. Immediately, comparisons were drawn between this and January 6th, which I think is pretty obviously ridiculous
for
reasons we don't even need to talk about.
They are itching to just compare anything else to January 6th and the drama that's come from January 6th.
Yeah, and to be clear, I think this sort of thing happened in a couple of state capitals across the country because of school shootings specifically.
Yeah.
These are people protesting either outside or sometimes inside their state capitals because they want legislation to restrict guns in this country to make school shootings happen less often.
Yeah.
And a lot of conservatives took this. It was in Tennessee, a couple other states. They took these events and kind of ran with it and said, look, this is just like January 6th. But it's liberal extremists doing it now when nobody cares. It's like these people are laying on the floor. It's a sit-in.
All sit-ins.
Right. Nobody's breaking things. The gallows aren't outside.
With zip ties and tactical gear.
They're not trying to kill a lieutenant governor.
It's kids who skipped class to be there.
Also, if you're going to storm a Capitol, you better have a damn good reason. And I think kids dying in classrooms is a pretty good reason.
Yeah, not all protests are equal.
Right.
And not all means of protesting apply to everything. They're not always valid.
Right. Now, it's unclear what the motivations of the shooter were, if it had anything to do with his trans identity or if they were bullied at school previously or whatever it may be. Again, the manifesto hasn't been released yet, so we don't really know what motivated the shooter.
Yeah.
But regardless of what it was, it's obviously a horrible thing. And I haven't really seen anyone on the left like defending it because the person is trans.
Oh, no.
Although Republicans have tried to argue that's what's happening. But yeah. I don't think that's what's happening.
And maybe, because like maybe, yeah, you're always going to find three fucking people who are extreme and are going to do things like that.
Yeah, a person getting like 11 likes on Twitter.
But that's not serious.
Right.
That's not serious at all. That doesn't stand for anything, really. Those are individuals doing individually bad things.
Yeah. I haven't seen a single mainstream Democrat. I haven't seen a single Democrat at all in this country, someone who like holds an elected office, say like, oh, well, we should have sympathy for the shooter because they're trans. It's not happening.
No.
Like, you don't need to have sympathy for this person. No, obviously, at all. They are insane.
What you are getting is that, okay, we need to have sympathy for the trans community right
sure,
now.
Yeah.
And that is only because of the conservatives' reaction to the shooter being trans.
Yeah, and we should get into that right now. The right-wing media has taken enormous liberty in drawing conclusions about why the Nashville, Tennessee school shooting happened. And their answer, very simply, is that the shooter was trans and the shooter did the shooting because the shooter was trans.
Yes.
It is essentialism 100%. It is this person, this minority, this person from a minority group committed this crime because they're a part of a minority group. Mm-hmm. That's the argument.
100%. Because that is only ever how it is. It's like when you talk about any crime discourse, it's, black on black crime is happening because they're black.
Mm-hmm.
But actually when white people do crime, it's because they came from a troubled home.
I honestly think this is more blatant than the black on black crime thing.
It is.
Because when you argue with someone about that, they'll say, oh, well, it's the culture.
Yeah.
And they just use that as a euphemism to say the black person's committing a crime because they're black and we know that it's just like a racist sentiment. But with this, they're dropping the euphemism and just saying the trans shooter did this because they're trans. Mm-hmm. Like there have been people saying that.
Well, it's like even just skipping the essentialism part of it, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, she tweeted and popularized this narrative that like, actually, because the shooter was female to male transitioner, they were on testosterone and the testosterone made them angry and that's why they went and shot up a school. That's why no one who's trans should ever be allowed access to guns because of the testosterone. If it was solely the exogenous testosterone that was the issue, we would see bodybuilders doing this shit all the fucking time because Lord knows they're loaded up on gear and tests and pretty much anything that they can find to get that big, but they're not going and shooting up schools.
Right.
They're frankly not. It's not the testosterone. It is more underlying mental health concerns.
Well, yeah, and it's arguments like that from Marjorie Taylor Greene and from other conservatives. They just kind of prey on people's ignorance about trans people in general. And it's also the fact that it's literally the Toy Story scene where it's, I don't want to play with you anymore, but it's the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Suddenly, your love for the Second Amendment no longer exists when it has to do with a marginalized group.
Mm-hmm.
Only when it really happens or happens to threaten the gun rights, quote unquote, of like, you know, white cis people in this country, Christians in this country. But if you don't believe us when we're saying that this is the conservative narrative, I brought quotes.
Oh, yes.
And
did.
Boy, was there a lot of quotes to choose from this week. First one's from Matt Walsh. I don't even, does Matt Walsh even need an introduction anymore?
No, I don't think Matt. I think when we first started, I've always been a Matt Walsh head. I'm an OG Matt Walsh head.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Friend of the show. I've been following his shit since like before we started the pod and when I first saw him on Tucker Carlson because he was just so fucking ridiculous. But now I think, because trans issues have kind of catapulted into being one of the top culture war issues in the country, and he has made himself somewhat of the face of that.
Right.
I don't think Matt Walsh really needs introduction anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's Matt, 16-year-old should get pregnant Walsh.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
Matt,
know what else to say.
Theocratic fascist Walsh.
Gage had the displeasure of introducing me to Matt Walsh. I didn't know who he was before you told me about him, but I do now. I have an intimate knowledge of Matt Walsh. He said, this is on Twitter, Matt Walsh said, quote, always remember what happened at Covenant School. Remember what happened to those innocent victims, to those children. We are facing a truly demonic evil. Never forget that. And of course, he's not talking about the demonic evil of gun violence.
He's not talking about the demonic evil of mental illness.
He's talking about the demonic evil of trans people in this country. That's what he's talking about. Because he also went on and posted a bunch about how this is a trans person shooting up a Christian school, and this is evidence of widespread anti-Christian sentiment from quote-unquote transgenderism or the trans community. Again, I don't know how you interpret that other than trans people are trying to kill your kids, right?
Yeah.
Or trans people are trying to kill your Christian kids.
And then him and other conservative pundits were also reposting this one image of, I think, four separate mass shooters, not necessarily school shooters, who all identified as trans or non-binary or as something else other than what they were assigned as birth or things like that.
Right.
There's been four of them. And they said that as like, oh, look at all the trans people that are committing these mass murders, discounting the fact that 2,800 white men have done mass murders.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like, it's all ridiculous. It's playing on your ignorance of mass shootings.
Right, and they pulled those four people from the last 2 years, 3 years or so.
I don't even think it's, yeah, I think it's like 2-3 years.
And then at the same time, you consider that over that same span of time, there's been like 2,000 mass shootings.
Yeah.
And everybody else, other than those four, were cis people, usually cis white men.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, what is this argument? They're just pointing out how rare it is for a non-cis person to commit a mass shooting.
Yeah, like the proportions here, way off.
Yeah.
Way off.
Yeah, no, especially because like if we're looking at the last 2 to 3 years, 2,000 cases, for example, there's only four trans people. That's like one in every 500. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and when you look at cis people, it's like one in every, I don't even know what the proportion would be, but it's disproportionate for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you would expect like one in every 100 if we were being proportional for the trans community for mass shootings, but that's not the case. They commit mass shootings disproportionately less than their proportion of the population in the country.
Cis white guys disproportionately more.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Right, right. We have a quote from Tucker Carlson. This was a part of a much longer segment where he just went on a tirade against trans people in general, but I'll just read a quote from this. He said, quote, "The trans community or the trans movement is a mirror image of Christianity and therefore its natural enemy. In Christianity, the price of admission is that you're admitting you're not God. Christians openly concede they have no real power over anything, and for that matter, very little personal virtue. The trans movement takes the opposite view. Trans ideology claims dominion over nature itself. Quote, we can change the identity we are born with. They will tell you with wild-eyed certainty. Christians can never agree with that statement because they are powerless to believe God alone possesses. Let me back up on that sentence. Christians can never agree with the statement because these are powers they believe God alone possesses. Yesterday's massacre did not happen because of lax gun laws. Yesterday's massacre happened because of a deranged demonic ideology that's infecting this country."
That's crazy, because like, if that person couldn't have got a gun, then it wouldn't have happened.
Well, I mean,
like,
it's that he also, after that, goes on, he continues his rant about, and he basically just says, like, Christianity and transgenderism are incompatible. Mm-hmm. And if that's not saying, like, oh, well, to protect your Christian kids, we need to kill trans people, what's the argument other than that, right?
If you necessarily believe that being trans is a sin, and that sinning is bad, and that sin needs to be eradicated, mm-hmm. then where does that take you?
Right.
Like,
exactly. Also, I reject this idea that Christians think that they have no power over everything or no power over anything. Like,
what about
I'm sure,
the Inquisition?
I'm sure there's some, there's some bald Christian men that have gotten hair implants, I'm sure. That's gender affirming care, brother.
That's right. I'm sure some Christian men go out and get their cross tattoos.
Exactly.
People go get their cross tattoos, desecrating the body that God gave them.
Uh-huh. But for some reason, that doesn't matter when it comes to your body and changing
exactly.
it.
I'm sure Christian women have gotten breast reduction surgeries because it's
breast
their
enlargement,
backs.
Yeah.
Or breast enlargements, breast implants. Some BBLs.
Exactly.
But that doesn't matter. It's only when you do it to look as something that I don't deem as beautiful.
It's only when it matches my political agenda, which mm-hmm. is eradicating trans people, something they've admitted over the last yeah. few weeks. I will go from Jeremy Boring, I think founder of The Daily Wire.
Yeah.
Someone I unfortunately like share a name with. He said, quote, this is on Twitter. He said, quote, "Of course, the trans community is not responsible for the actions of one member of that community. That said, trans ideology is evil. The affirming of that ideology by society is evil, and the mainstreaming of that ideology will never or will bear evil fruit."
Trans people aren't evil, but like, come on, guys. But like, they're evil.
Well, yeah, no, it's like, we can't blame the whole community, but also allowing trans people to exist will kill kids.
Yeah, it's like, come okay, on. Guys, like, the people aren't evil, but like, the things they do are evil, and the things that
exactly.
make up their identity are evil, therefore.
Yeah. A quote from Benny Johnson. Really funny guy.
Oh, God. What does he even do?
I don't know.
Is he like a Newsmax or OAN guy?
He's so lame. He'll come up in the show a little bit later, too. He's a recurring theme. I have another quote from him on another topic we'll talk about.
He's popping off on Twitter.
Benny Johnson said, "Trans activists have now staged insurrections in Oklahoma, Kentucky, and Tennessee and slaughtered six Christians on Monday. Biden's response, saying trans people shape our nation's soul. Meanwhile, he refuses to call the shooting an attack on Christians." I don't, like, he's saying trans activists killed the people that were in Covenant School. Come on, brother.
Yeah.
That wasn't a trans activist.
No. No. Like,
and saying it is some crazy shit.
And
that's some crazy
just
shit.
The sensationalism here is crazy.
Yeah.
That's all Benny Johnson does, though, is sensationalize everything.
Yeah, yeah. Last quote here from Charlie Kirk. He said, "Today is Christian Kids Visibility Day. Three of them were just murdered in cold blood by a transgender homicidal maniac. The president may not see you, but millions of Americans see you, and we're grieved by what happened. Our prayers are with you and your families." And this is just like, here's the thing, right? Like, it is true to say that the shooting was done by a transgender person, right? That is factually correct. But by constantly pointing it out and by linking violence with being trans and gender in general, you're creating a narrative. Mm-hmm. And they're intentionally creating this narrative that being trans means you're going to be violent. It means your kids are going to die. Like, that's the argument that they're making.
It's the same reason. It's the same thing as, like, headlines being like, black man commits homicide. Mm-hmm. Black man goes and does this. It's like you're doing that to connect the race to the atrocious act.
Yeah. And it's also the idea that if you're a member of a minority group, anything you do that gets sensationalized by the media falls on to your community. Like, they are responsible for it. You represent your entire community when you commit an action, whereas as a white person or as a cis person, you don't represent anybody. You're just a lone wolf individual.
You get to be an individual. Uh-huh. You have the luxury of being an individual.
Yeah, whereas if a black person commits a crime, as every racial group does, every racial group has people that commit crimes. If a black person does it, they're representing their entire community, whereas if a white person does it, they're not. It's completely unfair and a little bit racist, and in this case,
transphobic.
Now, of course, every conservative is trying to link the Nashville, Tennessee school shooting and the shooter being trans with, you know, trans equals being violent, right? Mm-hmm. That's the narrative they're trying to establish. They're simply trying to say being trans means that you're going to be violent. That's the narrative that they're trying to create. And it's obviously absurd because, again, most school shootings that happen are cis white men, and they never, ever say that this shooting happened because it was a cis man or the shooting happened because it was a white man. It's always, this is a lone wolf, and that doesn't mean we should restrict the rights of all Americans by implementing gun laws.
Yeah, if logic proceeds, ban all white people, actually.
Right, exactly.
it's ban white men.
Right, but at its core, this isn't logical. And as far as I'm concerned, the shooter being trans is almost irrelevant because the larger issue is and always has been ease of access to guns.
Yeah.
That has always been the issue in this country. And saying the shooting happened because the shooter is trans is the same as saying this crime happened because the person committing the crime is black. It's essentialism. Again, it is just saying that the characteristics of this person are inherent to why their behavior is happening when it's just not true.
And it's also like, even if the manifesto releases, and this is a hate motivated attack, like Christian kids were intentionally targeted because they perceived that Christian kids were awful and Christian people are awful and things like that. When another shooting happens, like the Buffalo shooting or things like that, and we comment on it, we talk about like, oh, these incels, these racist incels, these hate groups are doing these things. Mm-hmm. That's still separate from the identity of the shooter.
Yes.
I'm never saying ban cis men, cis white men are the problem. I'm saying incels are the problem. Racists are the problem. I'm not connecting these things to an immutable characteristic.
And I immediately thought of the Buffalo shooting as well, because that one was motivated by white supremacy, right? And we noted that was motivated by white supremacy. And this shooting in Nashville, Tennessee, the elementary school, could have been motivated by a hate of Christian people. But to say that that hate is somehow core to being trans in general is ridiculous, because again, we would never say that being a white supremacist is core to being white.
Yeah.
Because that is essentialism. That's Nazi
absurd.
Shit.
Absurd.
Like, it's ridiculous.
If being a white supremacist is as integral and intertwined with your identity as being trans, then big issue.
Right.
We got a problem.
Exactly. Like, we would never say that the shooter did the shooting because they were white.
Yeah.
They might be motivated by racism, which could, their white identity could play into that.
But it's because they're racist.
But that wouldn't speak to how the rest of white people act in this country. That would be a ridiculous assumption to make. And I think they know that.
They do.
But
they're just playing it up. Because conservatism is, it's the party of grifters.
Yeah. And look, I hate always doing comparisons to Nazis.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this Nashville, Tennessee school shooting thing, it's hard to not, because it's applicable here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is exactly what the Nazis did. They would take any example of a Jewish person committing a crime and they would sensationalize it to make it seem like all Jewish people are acting this way.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Republicans are doing with trans people. They're saying, look, this trans person did a really awful thing, and this somehow is representative of how every trans person acts, and transgenderism as an ideology is going to kill your Christian kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I don't understand how you get anything else out of this narrative.
Oh, no, exactly. It's the politics of dehumanization. It's the rhetorical styles that they're using to justify the dehumanization of a group.
No, yeah, that's exactly what it is, because we're also getting this argument from some conservatives, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, that trans people shouldn't have access to the Second Amendment anymore. Mm-hmm. If that's not dehumanization and taking rights away from people, then I don't know what is. And ironically, it is also Nazi shit, because Nazis also disarmed Jewish people.
Yes.
Like, if you I hate constantly using comparisons to Nazis, but I wouldn't do it if it wasn't so applicable.
If they weren't doing Nazi shit, I wouldn't call them out for doing Nazi shit.
Like, if we're to look at any recent rise of fascism in a country, I mean, we're looking a lot like Germany in 1930s, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not good. It's not good. And as I said before, in reality, all groups commit crimes, right? Like, there are members of every group that are committing crimes. And in a country of 350 million people, of course, eventually a trans person is going to do an awful thing like a school shooting. But what's interesting, again, is that they commit disproportionately less shootings than you would expect. Mm-hmm. The population statistics just don't line up at all.
They can't even bastardize statistics and say, like, a 1350 thing. Mm-hmm. They can't even do that here. They just have to rely on people's ignorance when they repost their shitty fucking memes and pretend they're doing serious politics.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I had to summarize the issue, it's obviously school shootings are terrible. We cover them, I feel like, once a month at this point. Yeah. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. We're always talking about a school shooting. But if you hear any argument that this school shooting happened because the person was trans, that is obviously ridiculous. Mm-hmm. There are statistics that will point to the fact that it's obviously ridiculous. And also, the issue is the same as it's always been. People have easy access to weaponry. This doesn't happen in any other country. It's just an American problem. Yeah. And it's honestly a white cis problem in this country. It isn't a trans problem, because trans people aren't doing shootings.
If we are to tie this to identity, it's a problem of white cis men.
Exactly.
But
right.
We recognize that this is ridiculous. So let's not do that.
Right.
Like,
the broader social issue is access to weaponry. And sure, mental illness plays into that as well, but it's not like Republicans are trying to do anything about that.
Literally.
So.
Holy shit.
That I think that summarizes that story right there.
I think so too. There were a couple other narratives that floated around. Like, I know white wingers went crazy over the Trans Day of Vengeance protest.
Yeah.
And just to clear the air on that, that was a protest that was planned long in advance before this. And it was canceled after the events of Nashville. So that's crazy. I saw this Bill Maher clip.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hate Bill Maher. Where he's just going off about that and a bunch of other shit. God, ridiculous, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is literally dehumanization. Yeah. I remember Bill Maher had a section a couple of months ago at this point where he said, like, conservatives and liberals just need to come together. Like, conservatives can drop, he said, some crazy thing that they believe in, and then liberals can drop that they think men can become women. And I was like, brother, come, like, if that isn't literally dehumanization, I don't know what is.
He also had, on his panel to talk about this, he had like a Gays Against Groomers guy. I don't know if he's actually from Gays Against Groomers, but he was spewing the same talking points. And he had some chick that was just blatantly just anti-drag queen. Like, at the end of the segment, she went off the rails and just said, yeah, well, when kids are getting lap dances in school by drag queens and pole dances queens in schools. And even Bill pushed back against her. Like, as shitty as he is, he's like, that's not fucking happening.
It's just,
like,
they live in another reality. I don't know how to deal with people that actually think this.
Yeah, I don't understand why he steals a show. Because, like, the Gays Against Groomer type guy, he's like, I think the LGB needs to separate from the T.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, it's like that UK group. It's just called the LGB Alliance.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, bro, come on. What's the fucking point? The point is fascism, people. You shouldn't trust these people. It's really bad. So don't believe any of those narratives, and the issue's the same as it always has been.
Facts. Speaking of fascism and the state weaponizing politics against undeserving people, Trump was just indicted.
The realest American.
Yeah.
The realest American, Donald Trump, was just indicted, which means crimes or charges of a crime are going to be brought against him for the Stormy Daniels case. And I hear it's like multiple charges.
Oh, really?
Or just like 30 charges of something to do with like business fraud, something similar.
Does it have to do with like business fraud in like, because the main thing is hush money.
Right.
Like, he paid Stormy Daniels like, what, $30,000 to shut up about his affair? Right. And I'd imagine the other charges are derivative of the fact that he needed to get that $30,000 from somewhere.
Yeah,
that
probably.
That didn't look suspicious.
Well, and the question is, did it come from his campaign? Because you can't use campaign funds to pay somebody hush money. That's not allowed.
And from what I was reading, wasn't there another person who was like accused of doing that like years back?
No, I have no idea.
Huh.
And like, to be fair, this is like the lightest of Trump's crimes, especially when we throw into the mix everything he did during his presidency. This is like nothing compared to all of those. It's still interesting, and it's still a crime, nonetheless, that needs to be investigated. Hey, but
they got Al Capone on tax evasion.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how they got him.
So right now, it's looking highly unlikely that we're going to get a perp walk, or he's going to be put in cuffs, or any cool images like this are going to come out. But we probably will get a mugshot at some point. They're not supposed to release when you get a mugshot in New York, but it's going to leak. It's the former president. And I'm hearing, I just heard recently, that it looks like Tuesday is going to be the actual day where he's taken to New York.
Again, not going to be in cuffs. He was just wrong about the Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly.
He knew it was Tuesday. He was just wrong about the day. Bro, that's crazy. You know those like MAGA rappers? Mm. Like just make the corny like Republican rap songs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It would be so gas if Trump did a perp walk or if they just did like the mugshot leaked and they just started throwing it in their music videos.
Oh, that'd be gas.
That'd be so fucking cool.
Well, I mean, there's going to be t-shirts of it, right?
That'd be like, hilarious.
There's
going to
be t-shirts
God.
With that image on it. Maybe we could get some t-shirts out with that image on it. Like, I mean, I'm not opposed to making shmoney off of this. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe we should drop a music video.
Yeah, for real. Now, of course, this is, like I said, the least serious of like all the crimes Trump has committed, but still a crime nonetheless, and still interesting to cover because it is the first time any president has had criminal charges put against them. And I think it's interesting that Trump and a lot of Republicans right now are demonizing the specific DA that is bringing these charges, mm-hmm. Alvin Bragg. But it was a grand jury that voted to indict him.
They deliberated for like 3 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just this guy doing it on his own.
No.
And it's not like Joe Biden's telling this guy to go do it for him.
Like he had the help of like traditional legal processes to get this in, and the grand jury deemed that, oh yeah, this guy probably committed a crime.
Yeah, and the question is like, oh, is the Trump indictment political? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But Trump also probably committed the crime and many others. So like, yeah, I mean, DAs are elected. Of course it's political what they do. They make campaign promises just as any other politician does, but that doesn't mean that Trump didn't actually do anything illegal.
Oh yeah, no, literally. And it's also like because the big narrative that spawns out of this is conservatives like, oh, well, why haven't they prosecuted Hillary Clinton or Obama for drone strikes or any of these other go for it, please.
Well, yeah.
I'm begging you.
I saw Betty Johnson again tweeted that like Trump's getting arrested, but no one else
one on Epstein's client list has been arrested yet.
I fucked up the joke, but I was going to say nobody else from client list has been arrested. Yeah.
No, because that's a good one. I dropped on Twitter the other day. I think Nick Adams said something about that, and I just dropped the picture of like Trump and Epstein there. Like
there, yep, he was with Epstein.
They were friends.
Exactly. There's pictures of them together. But yeah, it's like go on and investigate and arrest other politicians. That'd be fun.
I'm down. Uh-huh. I'd be so down for them to investigate that, like, Epstein list.
If you find that Hunter Biden committed crimes, put him in jail. Like,
go
for
it.
Why not?
Please.
I'm down for that. Yeah, for sure. Now, naturally, the right wing in this country's lost their mind over Trump indictment news. Uh-huh. I've seen some crazy takes, some takes even as crazy as, oh, look, they're indicting Trump to distract from the shooting that just happened, which was just another level of vile that I didn't expect to see. But
crazy,
I guess
how Trump predicted this before the shooting happened. Mm-hmm. Maybe Trump did the shooting to distract from his arrest.
It's just like the most incoherent thought. Like, again, they don't live in the same reality. They just be saying shit.
Yeah.
Like, if I could just say shit into the podcast, we'd be making tons of money by now, but I got integrity.
Brother, if I was a conservative grifter, I'd be so fucking...
It'd be over. We'd be getting messages from every dark money group in the country.
That's right. We'd be working with ExxonMobil right
now. Exactly. But instead, we're working with the group called USA Facts. Factual information,
To bring you facts from gov, like
the government
sources.
I got a quote from the Michigan GOP. They posted this on Twitter. They said, "It's a dark day in American history when government agencies willingly target individual citizens for political purposes. Today it's President Trump, but tomorrow it could be any of us."
No, it won't be. No, it actually can't be any of us.
If you're committing campaign fraud, it will be.
Yeah, it's the same rhetoric as when the IRS got funded a little bit more, maybe. Yeah. Like, oh, they're going to come for you. If they're auditing President Trump, they're going to audit you.
Well, and it's like, just insert any powerful person's name over President Trump. It's like, oh, if they can get them, they can come for you. Well, if they got Jeffrey Epstein, they can come for you too. Okay. Like, the criminal justice system already abuses poor people anyways.
Yeah. And it's like, I just fundamentally hate the politics of this and just like the narratives from like the big media companies and like the big pundits, because it's always the guy on my side is being unjustly persecuted and the guy on your side isn't. Whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans, they say the same fucking shit either way. We're the only consistent ones. Arrest them all.
Mm-hmm. Please. That's what I'm saying. My favorite take, though, was from Benny Johnson again. And he said, quote, "Trump just won the black vote." And
he
also said, "Trump is the new Tupac." I think he's like,
I think he's being racist. Trump just won the black vote thing.
Hear me out, okay? Like, hear me out. I think this is, he's trying to be like subtly racist, but it's coming off pretty explicit. I think what he's saying,
there's nothing subtle about.
I think what he's saying is that black people commit crimes and they get indicted, and Trump just got indicted, so he just won the black vote. I don't know if that's the logic, but that's what it sounds like to me.
That's a crazy fucking tweet to post.
Yeah.
That is a crazy tweet to post.
Trump just won the black vote because he's been indicted for a crime. Like, God. That's the logic there. But that about sums up Donald Trump being indicted. Not much else to say on that. Looks like we might see him on Tuesday getting arrested, possibly.
And, I guess speaking of crimes and legislation and high courts and the government, it's time to talk about the TikTok ban / the Restrict Act.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So our main source of business.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. Our main source of you fine listeners.
We're a stakeholder in this.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm invested in TikTok right now. I actually have a controlling stake. Anyway, following up on the TikTok trial last week, the bill that started it, the most recent rave in Congress to ban the app was released, and Senator Mark Warner, Democrat, and Senator John Thune, Republican, teamed up. They've reached across the aisle to speed run the loss of your personal liberties.
Yeah, no, this is actually pretty nuts. I've only seen a little bit of this, but what I have seen is like,
yeah, it's actually kind of horrible. And what else is horrible is it was a struggle to find information about this. I ended up having to go to the text of the bill, congress.gov. And what I have to say about that, a little bit of the meta narrative here, is that congress.gov, way nicer than like the individual state websites.
Oh, 100%.
I remember when I read the Iowa SNAP bill, that shit was unreadable.
Uh-huh.
The font was bad. This letter spacing was bad. Congress.gov actually...
You know,
they did it right for me.
It's pretty good. That's where our tax dollars are
going.
I'm
proud to have my tax dollars go to that.
Absolutely.
For humble podcasts like me. But anyway, let's get into what this bill allows.
Okay.
The big thing right at the top of the bill, quote, the Secretary of Commerce, the bill allows the Secretary of Commerce to view and prohibit certain transactions between persons in the United States and foreign adversaries and for other purposes.
Oh, wow. That's broad.
So that's crazy. Overall, kind of just gives the Secretary of Commerce ability to ban whatever they want with broad penalties.
Mm-hmm.
The bill defines foreign adversary as follows. And here I'm going to just fucking read the bill.
Okay.
Section 8, foreign adversary. The term foreign adversary, A, means any foreign government or regime determined by the Secretary pursuant to sections 3 and 5 to have engaged in long-term patterns of serious instances of conduct significantly adverse to the national security of the United States or the security and safety of United States persons, and B, includes, unless removed by the secretary, pursuant, thank you, to section 6, 1, the People's Republic of China, including the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region and Macau Special Administrative Administrative Region.
Oh my goodness.
I cannot read today. The Republic of Cuba, the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, the Russian Federation, and the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela under the regime of Nicolas Maduro.
Maduro, yeah. Maduro. Yeah, yeah.
So that's fun. Naturally, any entity that falls under the jurisdiction of these adversaries is considered an adversary.
Yeah.
And would be allowed to be banned by the Secretary of Commerce just because.
Yeah, right.
So that's crazy.
That actually is pretty crazy. Like, on the face of it, you may think like, oh, well, I mean, if these are foreign adversaries, then we shouldn't trust what's coming out of them. But it is like something like, it's a pretty big restriction of what you have access to.
Especially because, let's get into it. Basically, any telecom service, any software capable of communication over the internet, any monitoring device that connects to the internet, like webcams, any e-commerce technology, and basically any other service or product that can connect to the internet and maybe collect useful data and is provided by someone like China and has over 1 million users or products sold in the United States is affected by this.
Yeah, well, and the question immediately for me becomes, how do you enforce this unless you're monitoring like every device a person has access to?
Yeah.
Now, of course, I'm sure the government already has the capacity to do this. Like,
they already do, the Patriot Act.
Right.
This is the Patriot Act 2.0.
That's what I was thinking, is like, they already have the ability to do this, but this kicks it up a notch and allows the government to kind of just like, shut off your shit.
Yeah, it kicks up like enforcement of the Patriot Act. It's like another facet of it. I also thought it was funny the bill explicitly mentions video game applications too, so rip to all the League of Legends players out there,
because
it's owned by a Chinese company.
Oh,
so that would be banned under this act.
Wait, that's crazy.
You would not be allowed to play League of Legends anymore.
What are we doing?
Because I guess they can collect data on the insults you call your teammates when you're tilted.
Why is this the important thing, the important political issue that we're grappling with today?
Why is this what Senator can come together to like resolve? Why is this the big bipartisan thing that's going on right now? Fucking insane.
Oh,
fucking insane. Next, here's the section of the bill that describes how the Secretary of Commerce should go about dealing with determinations of risk of one of the above services or products. Section B, this is again straight from the bill, considerations relating to undue and unacceptable risks in determining whether a covered transaction poses an undue or unacceptable risk under Section 3A or 4A.
Risk the fucking who, bruh?
Oh, exactly. The secretary, one, shall, as the secretary determine appropriate and in consultation with appropriate agency heads, consider where available, A, any removal or exclusion order issued by the Secretary of Homeland Security, the Secretary of Defense, or the Director of National Intelligence, pursuant to recommendations of the Federal Acquisition Security Council, pursuant to sections 1323 of Title 41 United States Code. Reasonable, right? Like, yeah, okay, yeah. Like the defense leaders are saying that something is bad. Maybe that's bad. Okay, that's fine. B, any order or license revocation issued by the FCC with respect to transacting party, or any consent decree imposed by the Federal Trade Commission with respect to a transacting party. Okay, fine. That's like pretty regular, right? Mm-hmm. Section C, any relevant provision of the Defense Federal Acquisition Regulation and Federal Acquisition Regulation and the respective supplements to those regulations. Again, whatever. D, an actual or potential threat to the execution of a national critical function identified by the Director of Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. E, and this is where things get incredibly broad and way out of line.
Little
bonkers. The nature, degree, and likelihood of consequence to the public and private sectors of the United States that would occur if vulnerabilities of the information and communication technology services supply chain were to be exploited. And F, any other source of information that the secretary deems appropriate.
So the secretary can just ban anything.
Yeah. Like, what? Yeah, any other thing the secretary deems appropriate.
What's the point of all those stipulations? Just say they can do whatever they want then.
Yeah, and may consider where available any relevant threat assessment, where available, any relevant threat assessment or report prepared by the Director of National Intelligence.
It's just everything. You can ban fucking whatever you broad. Want.
And it's also like, what does nature, degree, and likelihood of consequences to the public and private sectors even mean?
It means Meta's going to lose money, is what it means.
What are undue risks to my own persons that are unique to a data breach from like a foreign adversary? Mm-hmm. Because you mentioned the public sector explicitly here. A data breach is a data breach. If my passwords are leaked, my passwords are leaked. I don't think it matters if my passwords are leaked to the fucking CCP or if my passwords are leaked to Meta.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, it's fundamentally the same to the public.
Right.
You know? Like, obviously, you're not going to have these things on government phones already. Like, whatever. I can understand that.
Sure.
But to outright ban it, crazy.
It is just, it's a restriction of freedom, like what you're able to do.
Yeah.
Like what you can do with your free time. I don't see how that can be viewed any other way.
No, and just moving on, let's use the example of how this law is applied to like a TikTok ban, just so we can get like an ease of explanation. Mm-hmm. So I'm not reading dense text from the bill. In the context of TikTok being banned, like this bill being enacted, TikTok's mm-hmm. banned now, an unlawful act would constitute simply having TikTok on your phone, advising someone to figure out a way to download TikTok despite the ban, aiding and abetting someone in downloading TikTok. You may not solicit that someone should download TikTok. You may not attempt to download TikTok. There's broadly, no person may engage in any act that would undermine the regulation, order, direction, mitigation measure, or other authorization or direction issued by the Department of Commerce.
Jesus Christ, that's broad.
That's crazy in that last one because it calls into question the legality of VPNs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
it does.
VPNs as a service, is they're working as a VPN is intended to work, can bypass like geo gates on Netflix.
Right.
If I'm using a VPN, I can watch Dragon Ball on Netflix here because I've set my VPN to Japan.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? That's a service that just undermines this. Are VPNs now illegal?
Oh, I was going to say, does this ban like all VPNs for any use? Because you'd be trying to get around
what
regulation.
What I'm wondering, because
right.
VPS, that's their function, is to get around something like this.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that? And then when we get into penalties, one of the civil penalties for any violation of this act is a fine of not more than $250,000 or an amount that is twice the value of the transaction that is the basis of the violation with respect to which the penalty is imposed, whichever is greater.
That's insane.
Whichever is greater is crazy.
Up to $250,000 for getting TikTok on your phone?
Yep.
What?
The criminal penalties, the bill says, quote, in general, a person who willfully commits, willfully attempts to commit, or willfully conspires to commit, gets a VPN, or aids or abets in the commission of an unlawful act described in subsection A shall, upon conviction, be fined not more than $1 million, or if a natural person, may be imprisoned for not more than 20 years or both.
Prison?
Yeah.
Prison for TikTok?
Up to 20 years. Prison for posting the silly little video.
Prison for dancing app?
Yeah.
Like, what the
prison
hell?
Prison for what was Musical.ly?
If this isn't 1984 big government overreach, bro, I don't know what is.
No, why? I really don't.
Why is every libertarian and conservative not raising alarm bells about this if they care so much about big state overreach?
And that's low-key the funny thing, because Rand Paul is the one who had, like, a decent take about this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Rand Paul had a take where he was arguing with, what the fuck is his name? And not Matt Gaetz, Josh Hawley.
Okay.
He was arguing with Josh Hawley, like, in the chambers, talking about how, like, if somebody wants to download TikTok and take on the risks that imposes, you need to just let them download TikTok. You mm-hmm. can't restrict freedom like this. And I feel like we've gotten to a particularly awful point when Rand Paul is the reasonable one in the room.
Yeah.
Especially when this is a bipartisan commission and Rand Paul is coming out on top with the right take.
Uh-huh.
Tucker Carlson also did a segment talking about how this is insane government overreach.
Okay.
And he also made sure to throw in a stray at transgender people. He said, quote, TikTok is a creepy Chinese plot designed to make your kids trans.
Damn.
A fucking goofy. He just had to throw that in there.
If you're for some reason a trans person watching, they're like, oh, finally, Tucker's not talking about us. Literally. And then he just hits you with it. Like, you just catch a stray for no reason.
Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, like, dude. Crazy.
If you watch a TikTok and think, maybe I'm trans, I got news for you. Like, it's always been there.
Yep. It's always been there.
It's not going to be a TikTok that convinces you.
But yeah, dog, this Restrict Act is, in fact, quite restrictive. And keep in mind, they even mentioned industries like biotechnology mm-hmm. and quantum computing.
Yeah.
Like, they're mentioning things like this in the TikTok bill.
Mm-hmm.
This was never intended to be a TikTok bill. All of the discourse around whether or not TikTok is actually bad for you and actually this national security risk is really just a Trojan horse to get in Patriot Act 2.0.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's all that it is. That's all that it ever will be. There's another portion of the bill, within the text of the bill, that mentions that information based on what is determined to be a foreign adversary or not, or what apps, what applications, what products what services need to be banned or not, may not be FOIA-able.
Oh, really?
So it may not be subject to Freedom of Information Act requests because there's explicit language in the text of this bill that says, okay, obviously you can't get rid of classified information.
Mm-hmm.
You can't divulge that for the public. But it also says that you don't have to give up any information that's sensitive but not classified.
Okay.
So none of it's FOIA-able as long as the Department of Commerce deems that this information is sensitive.
I don't know really what analysis to offer here. Yeah. It's just restricting what you can do. It's in the name, right? Restrict Act.
Yeah, the Restrict Act.
I don't know how any reasonable person can look at this and think, like, yeah, this is my government doing a good job. Especially because conservatives will fearmonger all the time that, like, providing Medicare for all is big government overreach. That's socialism, and we're destroying freedoms in this country. But when we're literally taking freedoms away, it's bipartisan. Are you kidding?
Oh,
what
are we doing? And there's a mention that, like, if you do any of these what are now criminal acts, your shit's just going to get seized and now is property of the government. So again, it calls into question, like, NordVPN. What happens to them if they're providing a service that allows them to undermine the authority of the Department of Commerce?
Yeah.
Is NordVPN going to be seized by the federal government and all of the profit that they've made be seized?
If we ever get a NordVPN sponsorship, are we criminals?
Literally.
Are we criminally liable?
If we have a TikTok that we did 1.6 million views over, like, the past, like, 60 days on TikTok, right? Do we qualify to be a foreign adversary, maybe? Like, say we go to Hong Kong for, like, a week. We make a video, we post it. Are we a foreign adversary?
That should be cool. I want to be a foreign adversary, bro. That sounds awesome. Imagine how much attention that would get us.
That'd be so cool, actually. That'd be like if we got sued by the Daily Wire for calling doing Michael genocide noise.
We tried.
I wanted it so bad.
We certainly tried. Yeah, no, that's some crazy news.
And it's also wild because after years of, like, rolling China for their restriction of the internet and just absolutely making fun of North Korea, rightfully, for not allowing foreign anything on their version of whatever the internet is, we go and do this.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't make us any different. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, obviously, you know, China isn't a place I'd want to live. They have very restrictive policies on a number of things. North Korea is obviously not a place I'd want to live either. But, like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, we you're right. We can't rail on these countries for doing, you know, a certain thing to restrict speech or censorship or whatever and then do the exact same thing. What are we doing?
And the scariest part is that not the scariest part isn't that this is just a bipartisan commission that did this.
Yeah.
It's that it's gotten approval from a lot of senators, and it got approval from the White House. Like, Joe Biden has signed on to this bill.
I can only assume.
And a lot of these people signed on to it before it was made public and aren't backtracking.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part to me, is a lot of senators haven't backtracked on this.
Right.
But this has got to get changed.
I don't know if it's going to get changed. I feel like it's probably going to pass. I know there's some progressives like AOC coming out against it because it does just target foreign companies and does nothing to regulate social media companies that do the same thing that TikTok does, but in the United States, making profit in the United States. So she'll probably vote against it. Other progressives might. I don't know if people like Rand Paul probably will as well. But they're going to be a minority.
Not a controlling majority.
Exactly.
When you have like the middle of the road Democrats, your Joe Manchins, and pretty much everyone that isn't Bernie Sanders supporting this bill, it's going to be hard to find the... to find the 50 votes to not let it pass.
I wouldn't be surprised if this bill passes with like 85 votes in the Senate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And that'd be fucking insane. That's TikTok gone, baby. Again, that's 20 years in prison.
And like the people that are supporting this, the Republicans, are the same ones that are saying Joe Biden's administration can't handle anything, but they want to give his Secretary of Commerce the ability to just ban any app they want at all.
Anyone's Secretary of Commerce, just unchecked ability to ban all of these things.
Right.
That's nuts. The secretaries are just fucking appointed. Like, they're just appointees. They're not really elected.
Motherfuckers, yeah.
Like, nobody runs on, like, oh, yeah, this is going to be my cabinet secretary.
Right.
They're just motherfuckers that they picked. Mm-hmm. It's just people's friends. It's like the Nepo job, you know?
Yeah.
They shouldn't be having this crazy power.
That's nuts, man. I don't know what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
That's just some dystopia bad news for you this week.
Exactly. We'll catch you next week when we're on the most wanted list after the Restrict Act passed and we're deemed a foreign adversary.
That's going to be before we try to break Trump out of jail, though. Because we're going to save him. He's an American.
True.
Real American.
Honestly, I would say he's the most American.
He's the American.
He's the American. Mm-hmm. America guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Americans, maybe.
Speaking of people that support us in the United States, because that's where we're based.
Exactly. And maybe abroad as well.
We're domestic adversaries. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to take the first half this week.
Let's go.
So let's give a special thanks to Cricket Scrapbook Layouts, Nikki Nine Lives, Kaden Kraut, Lord T the Radiant, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Talia Katz, 40% Spite, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, Omar Zuno, Clayton Lefebvre, Mark Yeager, Sarah McRoberts, Dylan B, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Meyer Maldonado, Hunter W, Fergalaki, Max Vasquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mubari, Fixer Punk, Jim Egbers, Jeff Muzzy, Ted Cruz's Boy Toy, Bagel Burrito, Cincy Alex, Bread, Joe Stenstrom, Austin Reed, Adrian Sendo, Chloe Sim 601, Colleen Cuts, Timothy Espinoza,
Gregory Isn't My Name, Veryuk, Jennifer DeVoe, Big Bird Titty, Eliza, Crawfishin, Benneth Bennington III, Alexa Benanti, Niche, Big Booty Beatdown, Moises T, Sam Maloney, Two Headed Boy, Jeremy Cadwright, Ben Shapiro's Boyfriend, Jonathan Cassis, Luke O'Shea, Danielle Jackson, The Word of Microsoft, Jennifer Sines, Aaron and his Gundamn Gundams, Darth Father, Aiden, Taylor, Corey Chambers, Sewer Snack, and Jeremy's mom for supporting the show on Patreon.
Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We couldn't do it without you. Again,
we could not.
We might be able to hit our goal soon. If you're not a patron, get yourself on that list.
And then you can pull up to the live stream, have a fantastic time with us.
That's right.
And then maybe we could do more.
Yeah. Remember to support your favorite local podcasters, United States citizens.
Eventually, more money will mean more content.
That's exactly the plan.
Keep that in mind.
That's exactly
the plan. Keep that in mind.
Thank you all for listening. We'll see y'all next week.
Have a great one.